Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Big news over the weekend, at least for people like me. Mukundi decided it's absolutely irrelevant and nobody cares but me. I'm glad that that Brooke Spector does care as well. He had an incredible impact on me, Ethel Fugard. And when I was growing up here in South Africa and in apartheid South Africa, his works was one of the ways in which we could have the conversations that needed to be had. We could investigate nuances. We had access to a way of thinking that wasn't allowed by mainstream South African censors. Well, let's talk about Ethel Fugard. Brooke Spector, Associated Editor at The Daily Maverick. Brooke, a very good morning.
Good morning to you, yeah.
Is Ethel Fugard, is his work still relevant to us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, when I first came to this country in 1975, think about that for a second, what it was like.
Wow, yeah.
I saw two of his earlier plays, Busman and Lena and Blood Knot. It's like being smacked across the teeth with a fist to see that kind of work. When in the mainstream theaters of the country, obviously whites only, you had the equivalent of My Fair Lady and Blithe Spirit going on. And by contrast, what you got was what Ethel Fugard was presenting. You skip forward a couple of years later, and then you see these absolutely transcendent works that come from his collaborations with John Connie and Winston and Shona, The Island and Says We Bonze Is Dead. And in all of them, I think, every piece of his work, from the ones we've mentioned, Master Harold and the Boys, there was this backdrop of what was going on in the country, but his stories were always about the interactions between a couple of people. They weren't the big issue. The big issue was the landscape in which the characters were working their way through things. Let me just add two other quick points about it. In the late 1980s and early 90s, he actually wrote a couple of plays that in some strange way gave you a kind of a glimmer of hope when things were pretty bleak. The one play that takes place in an amusement park, Playland, and then the other play, My Children, My Africa, in the midst of all the storm and drang that's going on, you know, you can see at least one candle on the horizon from his work. And his plays keep getting performed in the U.S., Canada, Britain, Australia, probably a half dozen other places. They get reinvented for here and now. And when I had a chance to see Says We Bonze Is Dead a few years ago in yet another production of it, the audience was all in their 20s and 30s. And you could see by their faces that they were going, oh my goodness, I didn't realize. I can't imagine. I didn't know. I didn't understand. My parents mention it once in a while, but. And in that sense, and then you finally get to the end of his creative work, The Shadow of the Hummingbird, which isn't about any of these things. It's about an old man trying to pass on a legacy to a young boy, totally unrelated to the great socio-political dramas that are happening in this country. It's a very intimate work.
So how will he be best remembered? If you think about the life and the work of Ethel Fugard, it's very hard to reduce it to one point, obviously, and it minimalizes, I think, his greatness. But if there's one thing that you will always take away from Ethel Fugard's life and work, what would it be?
He gave people, other playwrights, actors, actresses, writers, he gave people a chance to figure out how to write about things here in a local English language, but vernacular English that boiled away all the excesses and just gave you, you know, in most cases, two or three people trying to sort it out. And that was that I think was the heart of his creativity. And it's something that you know, you cannot respect enough.
Very interesting, and certainly a very real loss to South Africa, but left the world and left South Africa certainly a much better place than where he found it.